Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Chaf. We begin at the Mishnah about a third of the way down, Chaf Omer Aleph. This Mishnah we've mentioned many times previously, and here we'll finally see it inside. So, we start off with Matzah Igros Shum. If a person finds in the street, in the marketplace, someplace, he finds these Igros Shum. Igros means a letter, and Shum means an evaluation. As Rashi points out, Shishamu Beis Din Nichsei Lo Vilamalva Bechovo. So, Beis Din sometimes would have to go and collect a property on behalf of a loan that wasn't paid back. So, there's a lien on the property. So, they go and take the property. They have to evaluate it. So, they would make a document evaluating the property for what it's worth, and then it can be taken to pay back the loan. So this is called an igros shum. Likewise, igros mason, Rashi tells us that this is when a person accepted upon himself shekibal alav lason as bas ishto. A person is getting married to a woman who previously been married. She's Nebuchadnezzar or whatever the situation may be, and he agrees, he does not mechuyev to, but he agrees to go and support her daughter for X number of years or until she reaches a certain age, and this is then codified in what's called an igros mazon, a document, a letter that states that he will go and support her. Or if he finds shtarei chalitza umiyunin. For those of you who have done the Daf Yomi, so we know we went through in Seder Nashim, we went through these in very, very great detail. So a document of mean is when a girl is married as a ketana, Rashi reminds us, ketana yisoma shesiua imov yochia, her father is no longer around. Either her father never passed away, or he'd married her previously, and she was divorced. And no, he no longer has the right to remarry her a second time. So he's allowed to marry her off midrabbanan as well. This is called Yisoma b'chayavia. In any event, she's married on a derabbanan level. She's under the age of bas mitzvah, and she's married off to this person. She has the right to leave this marriage at any point in time just by walking out. And in order to document this, so they would write a shtar miyun, a refusal. She refuses to go and live with this person anymore as long as she's still a ketana. So then she's allowed to walk out of this marriage. And they would write a document. Chalitza is, of course, when a woman never lost her husband and she didn't have any children. And the husband brother, her brother-in-law, is mechuyev to either marry her in Yibam or to go and give her a quote divorce called chalitza from this relationship. So she's a yevama until that point when he gives a chalitza, and then she's muteris l'shuk. So this is also documented by the court, so then she'll have proof that she in fact is muteris to go and get married l'shuk. So this is called a shtar of chalitza. Likewise, if you find shtarei berurin, Rashi says, Gemara will explain what this is. There'll be two explanations, that either it's a document stating what both sides had said as their arguments, and this way a beis din can go refer back to it, and nobody can make the changes in their tainas. Here we have written down what they had claimed, or others say that this is something called a zabla, zeh borer lo echad, zeh borer lo echad. This is actually got into the English secular law as known as a zabla agreement, when two people, they're having litigation and they each pick a judge, and then the third judge is chosen by both of them, either both parties or both of the other judges. So this is known as a shtar birurin, according to the second opinion of the Gemara. And finally, and this is where we've quoted previously, v'chol ma'aseh beis din, any act of beis din. Previously we had explained that this could be a shtar adrachto or a shtar chalto osa, and these are documents that allow a person who has defaulted on a loan to have the property actually taken from him. There's the beis din will write this shtar, this property now can be taken by him, or that if there are no properties right now known, so they'll write him a document that says that he will be able to go and take such document properties if he does find them in the future. That's what the document will say. In all of these situations, they all maaseh beis din. They all are, as Rashi points out, Dibra Maskel Harei Ze Yachzir, which is what the Gemara, the Mishnah now tells us, the Lekel Lemechash, we have no concern over here, L'shemo Nimlach, that maybe the document's contents never were carried through. Yeah, the person said he was going to do this, but then they never did it. So Beis Din won't sign such a document. Or Beis Din Lo Kosum Elo Bedover Mikuyam. The Beis Din will only write such a document if it definitely went through. So therefore, we don't have to be concerned like we normally might be that, okay, the person wrote this document up but never actually gave it, and now he lost it, and now we're going to return it to the wrong person because it never actually was given. So that's not a concern here if the document is from Beis Din, because they will only write such a document if the facts are that it went through. That's point number one. And then point number two, what about maybe it was paid back already? Ula Piron Nami Lekel Mekash, the Vahani Staro Slo Shayach Bu Piron. As we learned previously, that these aren't documents for which you collect money from. These are documents that prove something, but you don't collect with these documents, and therefore, even though it looks like sometimes that the shtari chaltoasa or the shtari adrachto could be used to collect, and we had a whole discussion previously, nevertheless, Tosas there had discussed this, and Rashi brings that over here. Afilu lemandiyom shumo hadar, even if you say that these documents can be used to go collect, so nevertheless, the person should have held on to it. Iu d'afsid anashay, if it goes and is lost from his possession, so then it's his own fault, he causes his own loss, and therefore, in all of these situations, you are allowed to go and be chosur. If, in fact, this had been paid off, he should have ripped this document up, he should have gone and destroyed this document. The fact that he didn't, so then he's held accountable, even if they can be used for piron, and therefore that's why in all of these situations, hare ze yachzir. Now, what happens if you found documents that are in a certain type of a kli, a certain type of a container? Motzah b'chafisa o b'deluskima. The Gemara will explain what these two types of kelim are, and you find shtarim in these different types of containers. Or, if you find them rolled up in a certain way, tachrich shtel shtaros o aguda shel shtaros. The Gemara will discuss what's the difference between a bundle of these shtaros or a collection of these shtaros. They're both rolled up in slightly different ways, the Gemara will explain. So that's the Takri Shoshtaris or the Aguda Shoshtaris. In these situations as well, where you found the documents in some sort of a container that we'll see has simonim on it, or they're rolled up in a certain way that also is considered like a simon, so then Harei Zeyachzer. You also have to go and give these back. As Rashi points out, the Ramaskal Harei Zeyachzer number two. So he says, the Dover Sheyesh Bo Simenu. These are all found in such a way that there is a simon on the way that they're found, as the Gemara will explain. Shakli simon, the utensil, the chafisa, or the deluska, but you find it in is a simon. Kishyom rabalim bechli kach v'kach, what's also some, so then you know that they're returned. And likewise with the tachrich and the aguda of the shtaros, harei ze yachzir, the dover sheyesh bo simon, who as well as the way it's rolled up and the number of documents rolled up will determine that this is a valid simon, that these were in fact lost by that person. So, harei ze yachzir. Now, by the way, the Mishnah tells us, kama aguda shel shtaros, what exactly is the number of a bundle? So, shlosha kshurim zebazet has a minimum of three, because as Gemara will explain, because two is when he announces, I found documents, so the miut rabim ishtaim, it's at least two. So, if the person says, yeah, there were two there, he's not telling us anything new. So, if it's three or more, so then this is a good simon. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Echad halove mishlosha. If you find documents that are one person who borrowed from three different people, so then yachzir l'lova. Then you can give that document back to the person who was borrowing the money. Because, mistama, why would three of his documents from three separate people be in anybody else's but his possession? All three documents are for him. So, mistama, if they fell from the lova, the one who borrowed the money, because they're all loans that he took from three different people. So, as the Gemara will explain, why we need to even tell us this, because there's a potential havamina to think it was something else. So, no. So, the Mishnah tells us, no, in this situation, it almost certainly fell from this person. As Rashi points out, Yechzirim Lelova, Devadai Piram, because he definitely paid them back. That's why he has all three of them together. Yechzirim Lo, and the original people that lent him the money gave him the document. Umiyado Noflo, and it fell from his hand. That's why he has all three of them together. Because Shem Miyadom Noflo, it fell from the people that lent him the money, so why would all three of them be together? We won't explain what the Havimin is to think that maybe they might be. Similarly, Shlosho Halovim Mino Echad, if you have three people, they went and borrowed from one person. Three different people borrowed from one person. So then, Mistama, the one person who lent the money to three different people, those are his documents, and Yachzir L'Malva. You go and return it to the Malva in this situation, as Rashi again points out, Shadover Yodua Shemimenu Noflu. Obviously, they fell from him. Why would the three documents be all together? Mistama, because they fell from the one person who lent all three people the money. And again, Gemara explained what the Havimin is to think that that's not the case. Mishnah concludes with Matzor Shtar Ben Shtarosav. If a person finds a document amongst all his other documents, then Yodeya Mativo. He doesn't remember what this document is. Was it paid back? Is he still able to collect from it? So then, since he doesn't know, Yemunoch Ach Yavo Elio. In this situation, you leave it in his hands. Biyado Velo Yachzir Lo Lazeh Velo Lazeh. It doesn't belong to him. He finds this document and it deals with Reuven and Shimon. He's Levi, and he finds his document. So obviously they gave it to him for safekeeping, but he doesn't remember who gave it to him for safekeeping, so he's not allowed to go and give it back to either one of them. He keeps it until Eliyahu comes and tells us whose document it really belongs to. However, im yesh imohen simponos, if, however, the Rashi and Tosfos on the Omid Beis, when the Gemara discusses this, explain that a simpon is basically some type of a mum, Rashi says, meaning that you've blemished the IOU. In other words, it's a receipt. So, im yesh imon simponos, if you find a shover, a receipt, amongst all of his documents, and he doesn't remember, was this paid back or was this not paid back? He has the receipt over there. So, the Gemara will explain more in detail what the case is. So, yase mashe the simponos. Here it says, you do what it's, the simpon says. In other words, Vashtar v'cheskas parua. If you have a receipt that this was paid back, so then you assume that it indeed was paid back. Even though it should have been in the possession of the person who borrowed the money and now has a document, the shover, that says he paid it back. So nevertheless, even though it's now in his possession, nevertheless, haminu halover, we believe the lomer, yomer, mochar, Tnei li v'shachach, that we believe in this situation that the lover, in fact, had paid this off, and for whatever the reason, you didn't give over this receipt yet to him, and we assume, if you don't remember, if you know that you didn't, it wasn't paid back, that's a different story, but here we don't know, and therefore we assume that this shover was, in fact, a valid receipt that was paid off, and you give it back to the lover. Okay, that's our Mishnah, and we now start the Gemara. My story room. Now we'll go and explain a lot of the things that I already explained outside. We see them inside now. The Gemara says, what are the story birurim that the person found? So we have two different definitions. So hacha, which means here in Bavel, the Gemara is written in Bavel. So the hacha in Bavel, Tirgumu, they explain the story birurim as story ta'anasa. These are the documents that go and basically writes them up to say, well, this is what Reuven claimed, and then when they heard Shimon argument, this is what Shimon claimed. And then when they go and litigate it, and when they decide and adjudicate the case, they'll know exactly what the arguments are, and also so that the litigants can't come later on and give a different tie and say, hey, no, this is what we wrote down, this is what you said previously, now you're changing your mind, that you're changing the facts, that's a problem. So they would write these down. That's the shtare birurin that the Chacham in Bavel said, that's what shtare birurin mean. Rav Yirmiyahu, who was an Eretz Yisrael, Amar said, no. He said, Ze bore lo echov, Ze bore lo echov. This is what's known as Zabla. That's the abbreviation of it. Ze bore lo echov. The first letters of these four words ends up being called Zabla. And this is a mechanism by which when you have each side picking one judge, so then these two judges then go pick the third judge. And as I mentioned, it's interesting, this is now used in secular courts, and this is known as a Zabla type of an arrangement in English in the secular legal courts. Okay, then the Mishnah said, "V'chol ma'aseh beis din harei ze yachzer." We had said these other types of situations. For example, they write up a document saying that this person, in fact, owed the money, and this person now can have his property seized to pay off the loan because he doesn't have metalton, he doesn't have cash. So then, this also, if you find such a document, a star adrachta, let's say, so then you can go and return it. So, Maisa Shahoya, how gito dishtakach beidino de Rav Huna. Now, we had this previously as well, and we're just repeating the entire thing here because we're going to add on some additional questions to it. So, there once was this get that was found in the Beis Din of Rav Huna. The Havok Siv Bey, and it was written on this get, this person who was bringing this as a shaliach, had lost it. And it said on this get that this get was written, the Havok Siv Bey, Bishvire, that was a certain city. Where was this city located? Mosah, it was a city, the Al Rochis Nara, that was on the river bank of this city, this river called Nara. And the shaliach said that I lost this get, and now we found this get. So do we return it to him or not? So Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, and we turn to Chof Abed Beis, and we explained previously from the Rashash that Chayshinu L'Shnei Shviri is either a statement that he was making and he wanted to be Mechadeh the Talmidim because it's not true, or he was asking this as a rhetorical question. Are we concerned L'Shnei Shviri? Do we have to be concerned that there is another Yosef ben Shimon and his wife Sarah who live in a city called Shviri, not the city Shviri that we're talking about that was on the riverbank of this certain river, but that there is another couple with these same exact names in another city named Shviri, and that's why you can't give it back to this person, because maybe this isn't his get. That, do we or do we not? Chayshinu L'Shnei Shviri. So, when Rav Huna's this case was in the basin of Rav Huna, so he was going to pass it on this case. So Amalei Rav Chista l'Rabba. So Rav Chista said to Rabba, listen, you better go check this out because he's going to ask you what the halach is. Puk Ayen, go and check this matter out. This fits in very, very well with the lashon that we said that he was being mechadi the talmidim. He said that we are choshesh v'shnei shviri to be mechadi the talmidim, to go and spur them to see, is this correct or is this not correct? So Rav Chista tells Rabba, go and check it out. Puk Ayen, the l'urta, because later that day, boy loch Rav Huna, he's going to ask you, what do you think that halacha should be? No, Rabba went, Nofak, he went out, Dok, he looked into it, and the Ashka, and he found Arishna, this not Arishna said, Kol Masi Beisdin, Hareza Yatsa. So this is a Masi Beisdin, and therefore this get had been certified by the Beisdin as being a valid get, so therefore now you can go and return it to the Shaliach. Now, that's what we had previously until here. Now we have another question. Amalei Rav Amram l'Rabba. Rav Amram said to Rabba, but wait a second, how can you say that our Mishnah, which deals with financial matters, for example, the Shtar Adrachta and the Shtar Chaltasa and other financial matters, so how can you learn Hechi Parshit Mar Isura Mimamona? Rav Amram says to Rabba, how can you say just because our Mishnah says Kol Ma'aseh Beis Din Harei Zeh Yatzeh, which is financial matters, how can you go learn that to Isurim? Isurim are potentially stricter than financial matters, and just because you can return something from a financial point of view doesn't mean you can return it. Now, making this woman to be an ex-HSE, she's no longer an HSE, she's a divorced woman. Maybe you can't go and make that comparison. Now, the top Tosfos points out, you might have thought the other way around, that we're stricter by money in various ways, and the top Tosfos goes through that over here. He says that the im tomar tfei anan machmirim b'mamona, we might think that you're restricted by money. Daha ain on the hokim b'mamon acharov, as opposed to a bisura as lidam basaruba, that when we have a principle by money matters, you don't follow the rove to go pay somebody back, as opposed to by isurim, you do follow the majority to go pay somebody the punishment that they're deserving. For example, we say by rove, if somebody rachmon l'tzlan is shot in the heart, and then he dies. We don't say, well, maybe he had a heart condition that he would have died anyway, and that he is a person who you wouldn't give Mises based into because he was already in the last few months of his life, and therefore the din is you don't give Mises based into somebody who is only chayishah to live. It's murder. It's terrible to kill him, but you don't give Mises based in. So you see that by Isurim, you go after the rove. By Isurim, you go after something falls that's also the full one frankfurter that's also falls into two frankfurters in a kasher, so then you're allowed to eat it. So by Isurim, you go after the rove, as opposed to by Monim, you don't. And furthermore, he says, Afilu hechadik chazaka, this applies even if there's a chazaka on the Isura, kineged rov. So we know, vaday, that one of these was definitely asa, v'lo chashina, shema b'mokum nekev kol shochet. And in a case of you're worried about a treifa, well, we don't say, well, maybe in the place where they shachted him, that's the place that there was a nekev, a puncture in the trachea that would have, in fact, made this animal into a treifa. So we see that you go after the rov. So one might have thought, Tosa says, that Mamona should actually be stricter than Isura. So Tos says, no. By an Isser of Eishasish, we were more machmer. For example, the Mayim Shem Lam Sof, if a woman or her husband drowned in an area where you can't see all the four sides of the river, so it's drowning in an open area where you can't see where the water ends, so then if it's what's called Mayim Shein Lehem Sof, so Lotinosa, we cannot assume that her husband Nebuch drowned in that situation, Lechatchila, because Afopi Sherubam Mesim, even though the vast majority of people in this situation would be dead, you have to be concerned that maybe he did swim to a point where we can't see, and he somehow survived. And the Gemara elsewhere discusses exactly more details about that. But in any event, Tosa says, the bottom line is that you can't go and learn automatically from a din by Mamonos to a din by Yisurim. And that's what Rav Amram's question is to Rabbah. How could you do that? Hechi Parshit Mar. How did you, Rabbah, go and say that we should be able to go and return these documents of divorce to the Shaliach because we do so by Maisei Beis and by financial matters? Rabbah was not happy with this question. And Omar Leh, he used a very strong language, Tarda. He called him Tarda. Rashi explains over here, Mishuamam, a person who's never crazy. If you see on the side of the Shoras Hashas, he says, go look in Rashi, in the Gemara Bava Kama, which we had not too long ago, towards the end of Bava Kama, it says that there he calls him Tadura instead of Tarda, and it says a person who doesn't have a heart, ein lev. The Shamitzion Balacha brought down over there that it also means something, and we see this at the very bottom in the Rabbeinu Chananel, where you have the asterisk with the parentheses on the very, very bottom of the Rabbeinu Chananel. So he brings down other gears. So it says that this is morid rear. This is like a person who's drooling, like a drooling idiot. Roar bisoro, that's where it comes from, Tarda. And others explain as well that this means. And you can see this is a goes of Bach, where he brings down the Tari means a shota, a fool, a mentally incompetent person, an idiot, or otzel, a person who's very lazy. And also he says shota bohu, it means a bamboozled shota. In any event, Rabbah spoke very strongly back to Rav Arman and said, you are wrong. You shouldn't have asked this question because it's so obviously wrong. Because in the Mishnah, we also had shtari chalitza miyunin tonight, which are isurim, and they're not financial matters. So why did you say that I can't learn Isura from Mamona? The Mishnah is also talking about Isura, and you can learn Isura from Isura. So Rabbah was not happy with Rav Amram's question. The Gemara then tells us as an aside that HaKadosh Baruch Hu seemed to be unhappy with this conversation between Rav Amram and Rabbah. And Poka Arza de Bei Rab. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that the cedar beams in that base medrash broke. They poka, they split. So Mar Amar, Rav Amram said, you know why they split? Because Mishum Lasai Didi Poka. Because it was due to me. Because Rabbah had said this not nice word to me. He called me a tarda, called me a fool. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, caused this beam to split. Umar Amar, and Rabbah said, it was because Mishum Lasai Didi Poka. It's because he tried to embarrass me. He tried to say that my proof wasn't a good proof. He tried to publicly embarrass me. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, caused this beam to break. Okay, very unusual incident over here. In any event, Rabbah's proof is a good proof, and he said that you can see that we return this document to this person. We're not choshesh for shnei shviri. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, "Matzah b'chafisa b'deluskav." If you find in certain types of containers, certain type of utensils, certain type of kelim that are a simon on them, so then you can give back the documents if the person can say, "Well, it was found in such and such a chafisa, such and such a deluskav." So my chafisa, what exactly is this chafisa? So I'm a rabbi of Bar Bar Chana. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said, "This is a chemes kitana. This is a small jug that had normally been used to store wine, and this person went and put his documents in there, so that's a good siman. What's the luskuma? My luskuma? So I'm a rabba bar Shmuel. Here, rabba bar Shmuel. We have a lot of rabbas over here. Previously we had rabba bar Bachana, and here we have rabba bar Shmuel. He says, talika de sobe. Rashi explains that this talika de sobe was a certain type of container, taska, a container, shaskenim matzniim bo kli tashmishan. They would go and put all of their things that they needed, the regular tools or items that they needed, in that little container. So they shouldn't go and have to look where they were. It's talking dafka by zakenim. Zakenim are a little bit more forgetful, maybe. And therefore, this way, they would put them over here, and they would know, oh, where are my glasses? Oh, they're in that container. So therefore, these are things that normally are simanim. They would be able to define, this was my deluskimo, or this was my chafisa, and therefore you could return the documents to them. This is a simon, and they're believed to say that those are their documents. Likewise, we said in the Mishnah, Tachrich Shel Shtaros, or we said, oh, Agudu Shel Shtaros, Uchule is also something that has a simon on it, and therefore you can be chosen. Harez Yachzer. Gemara brings down the following brisa that expands on our Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan, the brisa says, Kamahu Tachrich Shel Shtaros. What exactly is the number of Shtaros that are considered over here to be a Tachrich Shel Shtaros? So the brisa says, like we had in our Mishnah, Shlosha Keruchim Zebazet. It is three that are wrapped together. The Kami Yagudu Shel Shtaros, and what constitutes a bundle of Shtaros? Also, Shlosha Keshurim Zebazet. The three that are tied together in a certain way. So the Gemara wants to say from this brisa, from the three that are tied together in a certain way, shamis minah, kesher simon, that the way something is tied could be a simon. Not all ties are the same. And if the person can define what type of tie it was, that would be a valid simon. Where it says, Hotani Rebbe Chia, however, Rebbe Chia learned that shlosha churchen zebazeh, that it just means that the three are wrapped together in some way. It doesn't mention anything about the knot itself being the simon. So even without that, even without the knots, so it's a valid simon just from the way that they're wrapped. Gemara says, wait a second, if you're telling me it's the way that they're wrapped, so then it's not the knots, so then ihachi hainu tachrich. So then what's the difference between the wrapping that we call tachrich shel shtaros and the wrapping that you're calling aguda shel shtaros? If it's not the knots, so then they're both wrapping. What's the difference? So it says, no, there's a difference in the way that they're wrapped. There's two ways you can wrap something. So ihachi hainu tachrich, no, they're not the same, because tachrich is kol chad v'chad birosho d'chavre. So the way that we call a tachrich is when you roll up the first document, and then you roll up the second document, and the first one is inside the second document, and then the first one and the second one, then you roll them up inside the third document. That's called the tachrich. They're each rolled separately, and one is wrapped within the other one, then those two are wrapped within the third one, and etc. So that's called the tachrich. What's called an aguda? Duramu ahadade. That's when all three are lined flat, and then you roll them up in a certain way. So all three are rolled together, and that's called a aguda. Ukruchos. So they're all flat, one on top of the other, and all three then are rolled together. Okay, so slight difference between the tachrich and the aguda, and these are all considered simonim. If the person identifies them, so then hareza yachsa, you can return it. Now, when you say you found such an item, how do you announce that you found it so somebody can say, oh yeah, that's mine. My machus, how do you announce it? So the Gemara first says, minyan. You say, I found three documents. And then the guy will say, well, they were rolled up in this way. Those are my documents. Gemara says, my yiritzlasa. Then why would you have to say that there are three documents? Afilu trei nami. Then if he found two documents, to say, I found two documents. If the person says they're rolled up in a certain way. So Gemara says, no, that can't be it. Therefore, Ella, Kedama Ravina. Why did we say specifically three? So this is based upon what Ravina said in regards to finding lost coins. As Rashi tells us, that Ravina said, Kedama Ravina, this is in the Gemara in Ela Metzios, later in the Masechta, where the person says he found certain coins, Tiva, without specifying the number of coins. He just said, I found coins. Somebody said, oh yeah, I lost seven quarters over here. So then you can say that those are his. So too, Hochanami, over here, Shtari Machris, as Rashi says, the person says, Shtaros Matzasi, I found some documents. And then, if the person wants to claim that they're his, Vizet Saro Shiyomar, the person who's claiming that he was the one that lost them, says, Kach V'kach Hayu, V'kruchin Hayu. He gives two simonim over here. Number one, how they were wrapped. And number two, how many were wrapped. Hilkoch davka tlosa. That's why it's three, because avol trei mediyadia demiut shtar shtayim vein minyan simon. If there's only two, so then that's not a simon, because he said they found documents plural. So therefore, miut rabim is shtayim. So obviously it means two. So if you say that there were two, you're not adding anything, and then you're just saying the way it's wrapped. That's not enough. So you have to say the way it's wrapped as well as how many were there, and that will get you then, if you are correct, it'll get you back the documents. Then the Mishnah is quoted. It says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Echor Elove Mishlosha, Yachzir Elove Uchule. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had given us a case where if one person had borrowed money from three different people, so Mestaba, all three of those documents belong to him, rather than saying that there are three documents that were lost by three separate loaners and the person somehow got them all together. It doesn't make any sense. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, it makes sense. He returned it to the Lova. He's the one that borrowed from three different people, and all three documents, he's the borrower. Mestaba, he dropped them, and you return them to him. The word says, because these sokadaitoch de malvin ninhu, as I just explained, if you're going to tell me that they belong to three separate malvas, so why are they all together? My bo, gabi hadori, hadadi. Why would they all be together? The word says, nope, there's a havamina to say why they would be all together, even though they belong to three different malvas. Dilma likuminhu osle. Maybe the three people had lent money and they were now going to the Beis Din to go and document. So they all three went together. They all lent this guy money and they're all going together to the Beis Din. And therefore, the person who's bringing it to the Beis Din dropped it on their behalf. So it says, no, because they're Mekayme. We can't be talking about that because they were already Mekuyim. The Beis Din found these, when we found these documents, they were already Mekuyim by the Beis Din. So it can't be that they were being brought to the Beis Din. So it says, no, maybe they're being brought back from the Beis Din. Duma, miyado de safra nofil. They fell from the hands of the person who had certified them in the Beis Din. And that's why he has three documents for three separate people together. And they don't necessarily belong to Lova, they belong to the Malvas over here. Someone says, no. Lo mashi inish kiyume biyodah de safra. Nobody's going to leave them in the hands of the Beis Din, in the hands of the sofer, who's documenting that they were, in fact, authorized by Beis Din. They'll take them back as soon as possible. And therefore, it's highly unlikely that they fell all three from this sofer, because they were probably taken back right away after he authenticated them from the Beis Din. And therefore, mistama, like Rav Shimon Gamliel says, they belong to the lover. That's the most likely scenario, and we can rely upon that and give it back to the lover. Likewise, we'd said, Shlosha Shlovu Meyachad. If you had three people who all borrowed from the same one person, then yachsil malva v'chule, then mistame, it belongs to the malva. Why would the three individual borrowers have this documents together? The malva would be the only one that should have the documents together. And again, the Gemara says, because the isokah daitach delovinin, if they somehow belong to the people who borrowed the money, so then, my boy got me another, why would they all three be together? It must be that they belong all three to the malva who lent these three people money, so of course you give it back to the malva. And the Gemara says, no, maybe we should be concerned, here's the havamin, why the Mishnah had to tell us this, because dilma l'mich devinu ozle, maybe all three of these people that were borrowing money from Ruvein were now going to write up the document, and that's why the person who wrote up the document says all three of them together, even though it's for three different people. So Gemara says, no, d'chsive b'tlasi de sofri. No, we're dealing here with a case where you found them from three different sofrim. So it was sofer A, sofer B, and sofer C that wrote up these documents. And if they're all together, there's no way they could have been from the same sofer because they're three different sofrim. So mistama, it belongs to the malva. He has all three because he's the one that's lending the money. Anyone says Viduma Likuminu Osle. Maybe again, like we said before, they were being brought to the basin to authenticate. So Gemara says, no, malva mekayim shtari. Who goes to the base to be mekayim them? It's the malva. So it would make sense that if they were lost on the way to going to the base, then he would be the one that would have all them. Because the lova, the one who's borrowing the money, is not interested necessarily in being mekayim the shtar. Lo mekayim shtari. That's not his responsibility. It's the one who's lending the money. He wants to make sure that the documents are authenticated and certified by the base. So if they are Dilma Likuminu Osle, so they certainly fell from the malva's hand and not from the lova's hand, and that's why we return it to the malva in this scenario. Then we quote the Mishnah, said, Im yesh imon simponos, yasim asha simponos. If you find the receipt amongst your documents and it's for someone else, so then you should yasim asha simponos. You follow what the receipt says. Rashi points out over here, I alluded to it when we did this in the Mishnah. Rashi says, in Diba Maso simpon, he says, this is a shover, hamavato shtar. This is a receipt that breaks the shtar that it was originally, the money was lent from Ruvein to Shimon, and now Shimon has a receipt. The whole dover hamavato, Rashi says, anything that goes and is mavato something, so called dover hamavatul dover kari simpon, and he says this is based upon the Gemara and Ksubas kidomer gabe kidushe isha umuchiras eved shamum kari simpon. So when there's a question of a woman having a mum, and there's a kedushin, a kedushi tos or not, or you're selling an eved, is this considered a mum that would have retracted the sale? So that mum is called simpon. It uproots, it is mevatel, it nullifies the sale. So that's the lashon of simpon. And Tosos says that the word in the bottom Tosos, he says that this lashon of simpon is lashon simpon, is lashon of bitul, of nullifying. And therefore, in this situation, when you find such a simpon, the Mishnah said, you do what it says. You follow that which it says. If it says that it was paid back, it's a receipt, so then it's paid back. Now, that was in our Mishnah. And we have a seemingly statement in the name of Rav that argues with our Mishnah. Now, Rav Tanahu Palik, but we don't like to say that. So we don't just say, well, Rav argues with our Mishnah. We try to reconcile the statement that we're about to bring down in the name of Rav with our Mishnah. If the receipt is in the possession of the malva, the one who lent the money, so afal pisha kosov b'chsav yado, even if it was written with the actual malva's handwriting, here's a receipt that he wrote that this was paid back. Eino ela kimisachik uposel. It is not considered to be a valid receipt. It's as if he's just mocking him, making fun of him, and you don't go and give it back to the person who the receipt says this loan was paid back. So a simpon hayotzi mitachas yidei malva, even though the malva has it, so it should have been in the lova's possession if it was paid back. But if it's in the possession of the malva, so then you don't go and follow through. We don't say that this loan was paid back, and the IOU can still be collected from the lova. Why? So Gemara says, the Chiddush over here is lo mi boy kosu b'ksav yad sofer. Certainly, if it was written by a sofer, so we wouldn't give it back to the lova, and we keep it in the possession of the malva, because the ikel amem, because we certainly could say, safra isrami le ukosa. This guy wants to get his money paid back. He knows that he won't be able to get the money back from the lova unless he gives the lova a receipt. So here, he found the sofer. Maybe they couldn't easily get a sofer. So while he's at the sofer, he says, dude, write this document up for me that Rav Shimon actually paid me back the loan. I'll hold on to it. And then when he pays me back the loan, I'll have the document ready to go, because he's going to say, I'm not going to pay you back unless you have a document giving me a receipt. So, oh, here, I got it. Here's the document giving you the receipt. And He'll have it all ready. So certainly, it was written in the Ksav of the Yad Sofer, we have this Hava meaning to say that Sofer is Rami Levi Kosav. It's not so easy to write, find the Sofer. Again, today, everybody knows how to write. Everybody can just sign a document and says, I paid you back. Here's the receipt. So it wasn't that way in the times of the Gemara. And therefore, we can certainly understand that why would he have a sofer write it up if it wasn't yet paid back? So he would be able to go and give it to the person because Shimon's not going to pay him back until he gets his receipt. But the chiddush over here is el afilu kosav b'chsav yado. Even if he hand wrote it himself, now if he hand wrote it himself, why would he do it before it was paid back? Mustama. If he hand wrote it himself, it was paid back. So it should be in that situation. One would think that it's a valid receipt. No, nevertheless, it's possible. Why? Because Sava. You know what this person's thinking? Why did he himself write this up? You can't say, oh, I couldn't find the sofa, and I finally found the sofa, so I had the sofa write it up while I could. He's writing it up. He could write it up at the moment that it's paid back. So we should assume that it's paid back if he wrote it up. So the Gemara says, no, Sava. He's saying, Dilma, this guy's going to come to me. Misrami v'yasi benish mashos. He's going to come to me Erev Shabbos. He's going to come to me 2 minutes before lich benching. And you know what? He's going to say, if you give me your receipt, then I pay you back. Now, the guy is going to think that there's no way he's writing up a receipt for me right now. It's too close to Shabbos. And therefore, he's not going to pay him back. So this way, they're called parali. Only if you give me the receipt will I go pay you back. The lo yevino le, if you don't give me the receipt, lo yov li zuzi, I'm not going to go and give you the money. So therefore, so therefore, the one who lent the money, the malva says, I know this guy. He's going to pull something like this. I'm going to write up the receipt myself and have it all ready to go. So when he comes to me 2 minutes before Shabbos, here's your receipt, give me the money, and we're good. And this way, the chi, I see li zuze, when he comes with the money, I'll have it all ready, and he won't say, well, there's no time before Shabbos to write it up, so I'll pay you some other time. And that's why, even if it's in his own handwriting, there's a svara to say that, in fact, it wasn't actually paid off. He only had it ready in preparation for when it will be paid up. And therefore, even though it is a documented receipt in his own handwriting, you don't say it, the loan's been paid back. It's possible, and it is still able to be collected with its IOU, despite the fact that there's a receipt. More questions this and says, wait a second. This is what Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba said him of Rav. It seems to go against our Mishnah. Tanaz. Our Mishnah, in Yeshimah and Simponos, our Mishnah said, if you find receipts in your documents, Yasim Ashim Simponos. If the receipts say that it was paid back, so then we assume that it was paid back. So how could Rav, albeit he's a Tana who upholding, so is that really the answer? He's arguing with our Mishnah? We don't like to say that. So the Gemara says, no, you can explain it easily. Kedama Rav Safra. This is as Rav Safra said in regards to another Mishnah, Shenimtza Bein Shtaros Keruin. The Mishnah there says that if you find a document among your documents that are ripped up, so then, Rashi says, Vein Shtaros Keruin, V'hu Eino Karua, this one isn't ripped. So is it considered paid back, or is it not considered paid back? Lefichach Somchin Ala Shover, Shemokom Hashtar Mochiach Ala Shover Shu Emes. Because it's found amongst the other documents that are ripped up, so Mustama, this shover is a real shover. So just like we say that over there, if you find a shtar amongst the shtaros that are ripped up, meaning that they aren't valid anymore, so this shover would show that the document has presumably been paid, and the shover is a real shover. So to over here, Hochanami, Shematzo, Bein Shtaros Keruin. So what Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba is saying in the name of Rav, that it's possible that's when it wasn't amongst all the other shtaros that are ripped up. And our Mishnah is talking about where it was amongst other shtaros that are ripped up. So Mustama, it was already paid back. Another kasha on Rav Yirmiyahu Abba Amar Rav, Toshma, Nimtza Li'echad Bein Shtaros. If you find a document amongst all the other documents, and it says Shtaros of Yosef Ben Shimon Parua, it says that Yosef Ben Shimon has paid back his loan. And there are two people in that town that have the name of Yosef ben Shimon, so shtar ushtem prov. So then both of them can argue that this shtar was my shtar. Tosus points out that in these situations, what you normally would do is go and write up three people. You would write down, when the two Yosef ben Shimons, you write Yosef ben Shimon ben Yankel. So you'd write down the grandfather's name as well. So here, in each of their shtaros, they had written down the grandfather's name, which was different. So this way, we know that there were two different shtaros over here. But on the receipt, it only said Yosef ben Shimon. So each one is saying, yeah, I'm the Yosef ben Shimon, that's been paid back. So this goes against what Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba said in the name of Rav, that it's possible. Here we see that it's valid. In fact, it's valid for both of them. So again, Kedama Rav Safra. We say the same terrace we gave before with Rav Safra. Shenimtza Bein Shtaros Keruin. You look at the circumstances. It was found amongst the other documents that are null and void. So Mistama, this one is also null and void. So too over here in the Mishnah that we just brought down. Nimtzu lecha ben shtaroso, shtaros yosef ben shimon parua. So mistama, that situation as well. Hochanami, shenimtzu ben shtaros krum. It was found amongst other ripped documents, and therefore we assume that in fact it was a valid document, and that's why we say shtaros shtem parua, because we don't know which one it is, and each one contains it, it's mine. And therefore, unless the person can prove that no, this doesn't belong to this Yosef B'Shimon, it belongs to the other Yosef B'Shimon, I'm also clear all of a riot. So therefore, we assume that it's a real document, and therefore, each one can claim that it's his, and therefore, Shteyem Peruin. Try again, Toshma. We try it again to prove that Rav Yirmiyahu Abba, name of Rav, is wrong from the following Mishnah, Shvuah Shlo Pekodnu Abba. The orphans have to swear. If some orphans are going to collect from other orphans, so the orphans that are trying to collect from the other orphans, they have to make a shvuah that their father never, in fact, said that this debt had been paid back. So they have to swear. V'shalo amar lanu abba, they have to swear. They obviously don't know the circumstances, but they have to swear that their father never told them that it was paid back. V'shalo matzan bein shtaros v'shal abba, and we didn't find it amongst other documents that had been paid back, shtar zeparua, to say that this document is, in fact, paid back. So therefore, if they found such a document, so the implication would be that unless they can say that their father never told them that it was paid back, then we assume that it was paid back. And therefore, that goes against Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Amar Rav. So again, Amar Rav Safra, you look at the location. Shenimtzu ben shtaros krum, the same teretz is given, and this was found amongst all the other documents of their father that had been ripped up. So therefore, they have to swear that they didn't find it, in fact, in such a way. And that's why this document can be used to go collect from the other Yisomim, because even though Amar Rav says it's possible, this receipt is possible, but that's in a situation where it wasn't found amongst other ripped documents. So the orphans say this wasn't found amongst the other ripped documents, and therefore it is not considered parua, and they can go collect on it. Where it tries again, says, Toshma, we have the following brisa, Simpon Sheishal of Edim. If you have this receipt, this shover, that has Edim on it, which signifies that the Edim were authenticated, so it's a kiyum. So Yiskayim Bechosmov, it says that if you have these valid signatures, so then it is a valid document. Now this goes against what Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba said in the name of Rav. He said it's possible. Here it says that it's valid. So where it says, Eimah, learn the brayse in the following way, not that yiskayim bechosmov, et yiskayim mechosmov. In other words, go and ask the witnesses, was this document paid? And therefore, when you signed it, it was a paid document. So we'll verify it from the witness's testimony now, not from the witness's signatures, as we turn to Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. Vishailinon luhu lisade. Go and ask those witnesses, was it paid back or not? Iparua, ilo parua. And therefore, if they say it was parua, that's why we allow it. But the statement of Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Amar Rav, is still correct. Try again. Toshma, we have the following brisa, Simpon Sheishal Avedim, kosher. It says that if the Simpon has witnesses on it, so then it's kosher. Now, this seems to go directly against what Yirmiyahu bar Abba said in the name of Rav. So Gemara says, no. What does this brisa mean when it says, my Edim? It means Edekim. It means they're based and certified it. It based and certifies it. So then, even Yirmiyahu bar Abba, in the name of Rav, would agree that this is a perfectly valid document. And I'll show you that this is right, Hochanami Mistabra, because look at the Bryce's Sefer, Midiktani Sefer. However, Visha'ainu love Edim Possel, it doesn't have witnesses on it, then it's possible. Now, what does it mean, my Ainu love Edim? When it tells us it doesn't have Edim on it, what does that mean? Ilema Deleka Ilave Edim Klal. If it has no witnesses on it, would anybody have a Havi meaning to say that it is kosher? You wouldn't have to tell me that it's not good. So obviously, it has Edom on it, and therefore, El Alav Edom Kiyam. It's talking about that you have Edom on it, and then you went and certified those witnesses. So then, in that situation, it's good. If you don't have certification, so even though the witness is on it, then it's no good. Oh, that's exactly consistent with Yirmiyahu bar Abba said in the name of Rav, and it's not a stira. Now here's that entire brisa. We'll now have the entire brisa. Gufa. Simpon sheishal of Edim. If you have this shover that has on it witnesses, yiskayim b'chosmav. Then you go and certify the signatures, and then, which we explained, mechosmav, it means you go and ask the witnesses, did they or did they not say that this document was in fact paid back or not? I parua, I lo parua. Then einal of Edim, but if it doesn't have witnesses on it, which means that there are no witnesses that mukuyim on it, so then the yotzi mitachas de shalish, and it comes out of a third party, so then oshi yotzi lachachitim shtaros. Or if it's on the bottom of the shtar, of the IOU, this receipt is there, so then kosher, then it's perfectly good. So, yotzi mitachas yidei shlish, why do we believe it when it comes from a third party? Because the ha'himne ma'avil shlish, whoever gave it to him, obviously trusted him. So therefore, you follow what the shlish says. Yotzi liachar chitim shtaros, Nami. And similarly, if the receipt is on the bottom of the IOU, so after the IOU was written out, there's now a receipt on the bottom of it, you have to go and assume that that's true. Because the lav de Faria, if it wasn't in fact paid back, who would allow them to write a receipt on the bottom of this IOU? Lavi Meira Lishtari. Lishtari. Nobody would let them go and destroy his IOU essentially by having a receipt on the bottom of it. And therefore, in that situation, it is a kosher document because he wouldn't have let it be written there unless it was kosher. And with this, we conclude the very first parak in Bava Metzia. Hadron Lecha Shnayim Ochazim, Hadron Lecha Shnayim Ochazim, Hadron Lecha Shnayim Ochazim. We look forward to coming back to you, but Mirtz Hashem, we will start the second parak in tomorrow's daf. Have a great day.